Fly My Pretties has been a wildly successful stage act, 15 years, 6 live albums, and now they've recorded some of those best-known songs in a studio for the first time. So something like 25 musicians of the Fly My Pretties collective have been involved in the studio recordings part one. For the last 12 months or so, Samuel Flynn Scott and Anna Coddington, Holly Smith and Rio Honoku and H. Pryor and co. A who's who of New Zealand music. Plus, of course, Barnaby Weir, the wrangler. You call yourself a wrangler,
yeah,
Barnaby?
I come.
The wrangler of Fly My Pretties Collective. Now, as has been pointed out, this is back to front, right? Most people do the studio album, then they take it on the road.
Yes, that's right. We started the concept of Fly My Pretties as a collective showcase, and it was live, and it's all about that live energy. And so we've done 6 of those shows with, you know, great visuals and theatres, and it's a real sit-down, concentrate on the music and the performance. It's a little bit theatrical, musical live album project. And look, the realisation came that it was just like, hey, we've got all these great songs that we don't have a definitive studio version for our fans to enjoy.
That's very old school, Barnaby, isn't it? A definitive version.
Yeah, well,
this is the definitive version.
Well, it's the definitive studio versions, yeah, of these songs. So, you know, like you get in the live recordings, you get that great buzz of the energy of the crowd. You also get the buzz of something going wrong in the mics. And then you try and fix the mix, you know, as it were, because we're not layering things that didn't happen on the live show, on a live recording. However, in the studio, it's kind of more the perspective from inside the artist's brain or inside their ears. We want our fans to hear that quality version.
Just remind me how Fly My Pretties began, please.
Sure. Yeah, Fly My Pretties came about in 2004 with a small group of unlikely musos coming together. They're all in their own separate bands, such as H. Pryor and Sam Scott.
Is that so unlikely? I mean, you used the word unlikely, but are they unlikely?
Well, we were in our own, doing our own thing. So there was music that I had that didn't fit the Black Seeds kind of mould, you know. And I wasn't about to be asked to join the Phoenix Foundation. I wish I had been. Love the Phoenix Foundation. So it was a chance to get people together and do something together that was not a normal band thing. So we recorded 8 performances live at Bats in front of 80 people a night. For a cheap ticket price, and we filmed it and we recorded it, and it just seemed to.
So the people were just props for your audio for your live album.
Blood Sacks,
yes.
And the clapping guys.
Aye.
So that's where it started. We recorded that album live at Bats, and people like it, yeah. And so we did more
and more. Wasn't Fly My Pretties always meant, however, to be a live only experience?
I guess it's a morphing, changing concept. It can be.
You've changed your mind.
We've changed our mind, yeah. We flipped
it. That's all you need to say.
Yeah.
Changed my mind.
We flipped it.
Was it hard to wrangle people back to do these tracks?
A little bit. Some people were less forthcoming than others. Not forthcoming, just less keen initially on the idea to go back in time and re-record songs that, you know, were personal to them. That
I think Sam Scott.
Sam was a wee bit like that, and
admits
that's totally
that
fine.
He was a fool, being reluctant to begin with.
Yeah, he was someone that didn't, you know, didn't want to rush into that, and totally fair enough. He wants to record new music, but I think you've chosen his song "Quiet Girl" to play later, and you'll hear it. It's just a great version, and look, we're better now. We should be better at our instruments and at singing, and the band's definitely better, and you know, we're better at recording.
If only the Beatles had done the same thing, you know,
yeah,
and gone back to the beginning again and done everything better, wouldn't we be better off?
Maybe. I mean, it's not quite to the extent that, say, Star Wars, you know, how they redid all the touch-ups, adding in lots of new characters and things like that. It's not, I wouldn't see it as, you know, kind of bad as that. It's giving you what you've always wanted.
You will, of course, have hardcore fans saying, nah, it's not the same.
They'll like the old one. They might do, yeah. It's also actually about growing an international audience for us as well, which we'd like to do. And he's hoping. But with that, you need a great step forward. And so it's kind of catching up with ourselves with some, you know, really good-sounding recording.
But if you go out on the road and play the songs that people are accustomed to from this new album, you know, won't people say, nah, I'd rather have the album.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
It
might backlash on you.
Backlash, yeah. Oh, I don't think so. I
hadn't thought of that, had you?
Hadn't thought of that. No, I don't think it will, because we're serving the song here, so we're not adding the Mongolian harp orchestra to Singing My Soul. We're playing it exactly, you know, how people want to hear it. It's just that it's way better quality, you know.
So can you remember those early concerts at Wellington Bats Theatre?
I can, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you nervous?
Oh, yeah. Definitely nervous, yeah.
I had no idea whether it would work or not.
Oh, we were not expecting to be doing a second return of Fly My Pretties or anything. No. It was very much an experiment, and we've tried different things over the years, yeah, in terms of the theme, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But the first one, yeah, it was nerve-wracking. Yeah, totally.
And give me an idea of some of the themes that you used for your subsequent...
Yeah, I guess we used a lot of visual
art.
It was
a pioneer.
Yeah, the first one had a bit of a New Zealand pioneer theme. Yeah. Yep. The second one, Return, took that further and had this on a big screen. Lots of different heritage footage, which we're grateful to get. And the third one was a story with my dad, and I wrote an environmental story about water quality.
Yeah.
River.
And
river,
I spoke to you and your father, Dick, about that, didn't I?
Yeah. Mm. You did. That was 2010 or something, and wow. And that had Kieran Reinhart, an amazing illustrator. He illustrated that whole story for us on the big screen.
That's
so that
right.
was cool. So it was kind of like a bit more. There was more of a narrative there. After that, we teamed up with Phlox, a really great artist from Auckland, and she did treatments, video treatments, and live performance treatments with using her art animated for each song. So that was kind of, you know, her look, quite a lot about her look, and she created some great images for us and different songs.
Has Lee Prebble done all of them?
Yeah, he has, yeah. He's done all the, he was there in the first, he hasn't recorded them all live, but he's, yeah, helped me with the mixed right. and engineered all of them.
Gosh,
yeah.
I mean, he's part of the band, really, isn't he?
He is, and he's a patient. He's a patient man.
He's a patient.
Yeah.
He's a patient and a doctor. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Let us listen to Champion. Now, Champion cool. is a song that you wrote. Fans love it.
I hope so.
And so yeah. It was a no-brainer to put this on the album here.
Yeah, I think it represents the first album quite well as a song, you know, one of the more gentle tracks. And yeah, let's see what your fans think of the, if they know the song, and of the difference in...
I bet they'll know it.
I hope they do.
People can say whether they like this version
or prefer
better,
the first one, yeah.
Or the first one, which was on your second album, wasn't it?
Oh, the first one. First album.
First?
Yeah, Live at Bats, yeah.
Okay.
To be so strong, every time you fall, you know you bounce right back from it. With more determination every time. With more integrity every time. Got to be said, you came through for us more times than I could ever count. So thanks a lot. Don't you know that I will never forget? True soldier, committed to the cause in every way. Taking on the front line of our lives. Being there to give the good advice. Oh, it's got to be said. Came through for us more time. stone. I know you bounce right back from with more love in your heart, more fire in your soul, more drive in your blood. With more love in your heart, more fire in your soul, more drive in your blood. Always got to be repeated. You came through for us more times than I could ever count. So here's to you. Can still have a laugh at the end of the day. Committed to the cause in every way. A real trooper in our lives. A true champion.
Champion, one of the tracks of Fly My Pretty's first studio album. I'm talking to Barnaby Weir. Actually, Barnaby, people just love Fly My Pretty's. They don't care.
It's a relief. They don't care.
They don't care what you're playing. And, you know, if this is the way you're doing it, then they love that too. Somebody says very go-betweens jangle going on. I have no idea whether you... We're aware of
Go Between's Jangle.
Any disagreement about how you laid down these tracks from any of the participants?
Not really. Look, you brought up Lee Preble, who's a huge part of this on the recording desk in the studio, the Surgery Studios. Look, he's really honest as well. So if I go a bit crazy, or, you know, if I'm like, no, we've got to do this thing.
Have you
or,
a
you
tendency
know,
to go a bit crazy, Barnaby?
Yeah, I think when you get deep in the project, you tend to lose perspective. Oh. And he is the anchor that can say, hey, let's try that idea that's
go and have a lie down.
Go have a lie down. Oh. And, you know, the idea didn't work, mate, you know. And it's great. It's really refreshing. It's great to hear his perspective on most things. So, yeah, any idea that seems a bit over the top that I might come up with, like, and then we should record a chainsaw through an echo thing, you know, no, it's not a good idea. And so he's great like that. It keeps it in check. And also, I'm just the, you know, with my song I can try these crazy things, but I'm not going to try two outlandish things with someone else's song, you know. It's up to them to lead their direction and produce their song with Lee and me there, just making sure that they're not, yeah, really changing it up to.
So crazy. Everybody's individual song, what they wrote, is up to them to say yes or no to how it's.
Totally. Ah. But, you know, the aim, the general kind of guideline was that let's not reinvent your song. Let's play, you know, the version that, the studio version.
Has democracy always ruled like that in Fly My Pretty's?
I mean, it's not entirely democratic. You know, there's myself as a musical director, and I have a vision. and there's Mikey Tucker from Loop and Dan from Loop, and they have a vision too, and we battle through some of those things, and often it's not a battle. And then, you give the artists the respect they deserve with their song. The reason they're there is because we already love their music. We don't want to change them or their image or anything to do with them. We love them. We want them to play their song the way they want to do it, so they get to choose. Things that they like about the song and instruments they want in there. However, sometimes it might be too long, or it might be there might be a wrong tone in there or something like that, and they'll get suggestions and they can take it all.
Any disaffection from anybody whose song didn't end up on this album?
Not that I've heard. No letters yet. No handwritten letters.
They'll be talking amongst themselves.
I know. Well, we've got, we're going to do 3 volumes and we've got number 2 finished, so... There's lots of material. That's the thing. That's the only unfortunate thing.
You could have part 17.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll go to 3 at the most. And we've got new music to make as well, Kim, I think, in the future.
Yeah, well, this is not a signal to the fans that you might be just recycling your old stuff.
No, yeah, it's really not. I think it's we're catching up with ourselves here. We need, it's great to have these... not to be too old school, the definitive, how else could I say it? An original studio version.
it's rankling with you, isn't it, that I called you old school? She called me old school.
And, I think it's worthwhile, It's worthwhile, and any new fans can hear it in the context of just the song, not the live performance of it.
Yeah, you're quite excited by this, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Having another definitive go, you were saying, while we were listening to Champion... that you really, really like this version because the first live version, you were 23 years old and sounded like a child.
Yeah, I do. I really do sound like a child in all those songs.
But now you are a man.
Yeah, kind of. I think so.
Quiet Girl, this is the one we were talking about earlier with Sam Flynn-Scott, who wrote it and who didn't want to do it at first and thought, I've got better things to do. But now he realises he was a fool. This is a lovely track, isn't it?
Yeah,
why do you like it so?
There's just this cruisy Tulsa sound, kind of melancholy.
Tulsa sound.
Like the J.J. Cale-esque style. I don't know if that's the correct thing to say, really.
No, I know
what you mean. It's kind of like the tumbleweeds are blowing, but it's Cuba Street and it's mellow. But yeah, it's a great song that Sam wrote. Yeah, love it.
Thank you.
people are liking that very much, Barnaby.
Oh, good, good.
That was a track from the Fly My Pretty's new album, their first live album. That was Quiet Girl, Samuel Flynn Scott. Borrowing a bit from Chris Isaacs and making it his own.
Isaac-esque.
And people are saying, that sounds so good. It's the best pretty song for me. And it's beautiful reproduction of the original. And somebody has already downloaded the album. And
yes.
Yes. how do you get a holiday ever? Because you've got the Black Seeds as well, which have been phenomenally successful.
I actually have a lot of artist time, a lot of time off. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I think physically at home I can focus on different stuff, you know, different music and family business and writing music. It does take a lot of focus, you know. A lot of things need to fall into place to sit down and create a song for me. It's good to practice your behaviour of like going to do that thing. But in terms of coming up with gold, you know, it can take days of focus on the riff or a new thing or a feeling to express it properly as a demo.
So what do? Do you walk around or do you noodle?
Noodle, get distracted, get frustrated with yourself and then go and, you know, like have that real kind of, not aggression,
so
but just frustration.
Do you get a verbal idea when you're writing a song? Do you get a verbal idea in your head or do you get a tune in your head?
Often melody first. Or a tone, you know, a line or a couple of words that make, you know, feel like the concept or the tone or the direction. Mm-hmm. But generally melody and or a beat or a bass line can really get things going, you know?
You know how they say that if somebody does some music or writes a book and they say, well, we won't know whether this is a classic until 50 years down the line, if it's still with us, then that's the sign that it was really good. Do you subscribe to that?
I'm not sure. I guess time does tell and people's opinions and does count. I think that in music you can write something that is kind of a classic, like that sounds classic even though no one knows it. Even though it's just a demo, but it sounds classic in a certain way, like in a blues way or in a country way or in a classic reggae way. And then you can get more detailed, like, oh, that's a classic 80s style, you know, English kind of reggae kind of groove. Mm. But it's original, but it sounds from that era. You know, so you can have a classic approach. I guess you could write a story that has a classic model to be based on. But, yeah, maybe nothing can be classic until it's had a bit of time. In a lot of years, or a lot of humans to discuss it.
Yeah, and to touch it and polish
marinate,
it.
Yeah. Which is exactly, you know, it's like this release, you know, when we came to record some of these songs, it wasn't hard doing that part. It was probably harder in the mixing and the refining and the mixing, but the actual tracking of the core band was really enjoyable. And not to say that recording an original album of music in a new band is not enjoyable, but there's that pressure of like, is anyone going to like this? Is it a good song? You know, whereas we kind of know that these songs are great songs and we played them a lot. So it's a good start. You can play, it's all part of your muscle memory and stuff as well. So you can play four takes and choose one, you know, and then do a good vocal, hopefully.
Gosh. The advantages of becoming old.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
There are some, right?
I think there are some. I'm grumpier, but I'm more attuned to detail. You know, I want to get things right. You want to get things right, and you know, hopefully, better how to get there.
Yeah, yeah, but that means that right for yourself, not just for other people. Do you know what I mean? You've been, you know, doing things loose, and.
Yeah.
Along with all the other guys you're tightening up, but you've still got the loose as well.
Yeah, hopefully you got the loose. Yeah, you've got to have that with art, don't you? It's not too controlled. I mean, I don't want people to think that we
thank you for making sense of what I just said.
You know,
no idea.
A fine brush on everything. There has to be that looseness. I think it's there, though, in the emotion of the songs and the colours that you're adding. You're right, though. It's not just like to the book, this has to be perfect, but it's like you just want that feeling, because if we're going to go to this trouble and we're going to put this out, you know, you want it to be as good as you can make it, but you've got to have some looseness for sure.
That's right. I mean, does it scare you that, I mean, I don't want to overuse the word definitive, but here you are and you're putting these studio tracks down. Does it worry you that when it comes to performing them on stage, people are going to become in some way self-conscious?
In the band?
Yeah.
I think, I think it's kind of a relearning of the classic and relearning the song, because over time you can get a bit lazy with songs. You're like, I know how this goes, and, you know, I'm going to play it and I'm getting a bit bored of this, so let's add these new parts and stuff. Whereas I think by getting to the core of what the song is, serving it well on these recordings, it's almost like a rebirthing or relearning of the original.
A rejuvenation
core.
Of those tracks.
Yeah. And
interesting.
I think so, and of what it should be. So, hey, if you forgot how it goes, you check out these recordings.
What do you think your favourite type of music is?
I've been listening to a lot of Slim Harpo recently, a lot of early blues.
Yeah.
And kind of shuffly, boogie-woogie style blues. I'm not sure. I think that the blues is quite a massive genre, isn't it? But somewhere between the blues and rock and country, there's a sweet spot for me that is an emotional storytelling thing with groove and with riffs and with, you know, swing, and it's a bit raw, and it's not nice and polished and feel good all the time. It's a bit
not necessarily
edgy.
A studio production then.
These guys will perform, you know, record in the studio, and yeah, quite loose stuff, with one microphone, with, you know, the band in the background, like all placed spatially properly and stuff. I find it really interesting. I think human emotion's got to be part of your music.
This album's out on vinyl, right?
Yeah.
Is this a real thing, or is it just a fashion thing?
Is it a real thing? Music collectors love the vinyl.
I know that.
But did you know that on the spectrum, literally the frequency spectrums, a well mastered, well pressed, well mixed version on vinyl actually has a greater and deeper, more dynamic range, frequency wise. It literally does. Now that doesn't mean to say that every vinyl that's pressed has this, because if you press a cheap thinner vinyl from a bad master, from CD or something like that, it won't have that. It won't have that quality. But this is what the collectors love. They love this. There is a depth to it, and there's something just really gratifying about being able to hold the medium, to be able to put it on in your lounge, you know, with your either not very hi-fi or very cool stereo. Doesn't matter. But putting that needle down and letting the side play, I think there's something really to be said about that. That makes us feel.
Artisanal music.
Yeah, it's gratifying. It's gratifying.
No, but I'm glad you explained that a good vinyl pressing
sounds better. Yeah, there's literally more depth to the sonic frequencies that you're hearing. You know, in a CD that's cut off at certain parts.
Because it has to be.
Because it has to be, because of the digital, the zeros and the ones compared to the actual grooves that are cut in, you know. So, yeah.
Interesting.
And music is dynamic, and we want to keep it dynamic. You know, we want to keep it the quiets and the highs and the loud, the fatness. Yeah.
You were going to play, going to play The Watchman, but then you suggested a medley, starting off with The Watchman.
Is that okay? Maybe a Fly My Pretties medley?
All right. So if I go like that, it means you just
hurry
carry
up.
On going.
Not wind it up.
No, you're quite right. That doesn't wind it up. I'm glad we sorted out that ambiguity. You go for as long as you like.
Thanks, Kim. Yeah, we'll start with some of The Watchmen.
I haven't lost my way. It doesn't mean to say that I know where I come from. I haven't lost my way. I just stopped for rest. Tie my laces up and catch my breath. I'm gonna light a fire, baby, and drink my wine and stare right into the flame and touch the heat. I am the watchman and the guard of my heart, but I still feel something for you. But in my dreams, we don't fall apart, and I heal with you
Okay, we're going to move into Old Friend.
Take me back to the lake we used to swim. In the heat of the day, taking out precious time. And feel the warmth of the rocks underfoot. Wondering what all the fuss was about. Listening to what my brother played. Hey, old friend, I've been so lucky just to have you in my life. Yes, my man, I hope that everything gets better every day.
And to all the goodness.
I'll turn my mic on and yours off, sorry.
I see all the goodness inside. And I know all the willing in high. Take it from me. You're one of a kind. In my eyes. And although we are done, and that's how things go, oh, you turn the heat down low, but it's hot enough to burn me, to cook me dry, to say goodbye. Don't let your tea cool down, girl. It's better warm than not at all. And turn.
Let's roll.
Part of my day. Oh yeah, it kinda gets in the way. Makes my mind kinda cloudy. Should I give it away? Should I give it away? But it's been so good to me. It's been so kind, and that's what I like. But it's been so good to me. Yes, it's been so kind, and that's what I like.
Thank you, Barnaby. That was lovely. I'm obliged to ask you, somebody has texted to say, can you please ask Fly My Pretties to come and play a gig or two at the Paisley Stage in Napier sometime?
Why not?
So put that on your list.
Okay.
And people are loving that music, so thank you so much.
You know when you prepare something and then it just all goes fully out the window as you're just
I'm
doing it?
I'm not familiar with that. God, it never happens to me. Nice to see you. Good luck.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Barnaby Weir, who was, of course, the wrangler of Fly My Pretties, and the songwriter and the singer, along with all the others. And Fly My Pretties has just put out its first studio album after 6 live albums.